Hey everyone, welcome to the Plant-Based Morning Show. It's March 12th, Tuesday. I'm a little flustered because I forgot to set the title of the show. I hate to do that, but that's all right, fixing it. Rocky start to this week, this middle of week, March, Ides of March week. Man, we're a mess. But we'll right the ship. All right, I'm going to add Doug to Instagram in just a second when he allows me to do so. And then we will get the show on the road.
Sorry, the nurse, the school nurse just called to come pick up my daughter. So I think Katie's on it.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. Adding Doug to Instagram.
How's it going, Matt?
We'll start. We're starting over. Everybody, welcome to the Plant-Based Morning Show, Tuesday, March 12th. Big day, big week. Nothing could go wrong. I'm going well, Doug. How are you doing?
It's going great. You know, it's Tuesday.
It is Tuesday. That's correct. Had a nice Monday yesterday. I saw that you posted some stuff in Slack about your weekend with the girls. One of two. Another one's coming up soon.
That's right.
Looked like a crazy time. I saw a bunch of kids in your house, and I wondered what were you doing? Because when I have both kids by myself, we go into essentially a quarantine situation where no external stimulus. We just do everything we can to keep drama to a minimum, keep everyone locked in, everyone locked out, just watch movies or whatever.
We had a pretty busy weekend. Yeah, I took the opposite approach of like, how can we stay busy at every single moment of every single day?
Right.
And part of that was because Katie was with a couple of her girlfriends who are also my family friends here. So we ended up getting a lot of those families together throughout the weekend. But man, we stayed busy. We went to the trampoline park, which was always a good time.
Did you jump at it? You jump or just watch?
Oh, yeah, I jump. You kidding?
With just there's two girls or with the whole crowd?
This was just the two of us.
Okay.
Or the three of us.
And that's probably the right decision. But
yeah.
Yeah. With the crowd, you don't jump in that situation. You just hang out. Okay.
And then we went to Asheville Brewing Company to see a movie. They have like a little, as you know, they have a, I don't know if I'd call it a movie theater, but a big room with a giant, you know, projected
screen. Why
wouldn't
you call it a theater? That is a movie theater to me.
Well, so I've never been where they show the adult films or the grown-up films. Right. I've only been to the one with the kids. It's just basically like tables. Does the other one have seats and stuff, or is it just tables?
Yeah, there's rows of seats in each, and there's like a table at each seat. I mean, a big. It's like one of those movies you go to where they serve you dinner at the theater.
Ah, okay, yeah. No, so the kid version is a little bit different than that. It's basically just like a giant open room that they put a bunch of tables and stuff in, and then have the big screen. I mean, it's awesome. Like we watched Puss in Boots and had some vegan pizza and tater tots and a salad and a beer. It was great.
Yep. Good. All right. I like that place.
Yeah.
Never been to the kids' room.
What's that? Oh, yeah.
Never been to the kids' room. I've only been to the adult one. Is the kids' room where all the arcade games are?
They've taken all the arcades out.
Okay.
Arcade
so I have been to that room.
And converted that one. Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Anyway, what else? Anything else worthwhile about the trip relevant to our audience about the weekend?
No, not probably not really. I do have a running update.
Okay, good. The big 5K check-in?
The big 5K check-in.
All right.
Ready for this?
I'm ready. Give us your first beginning time that you ran.
Oh, well, so it was 23. I think it was like right at 23 minutes.
Okay, right. And you weren't thrilled with that. You thought you would
the
do
goal
better.
Was, so the goal was to be sub-20, sub-25K.
Okay.
And I ran that 23 time trial and then did about, I would call it a solid 3 weeks of like legit training. And then it kind of teetered off, went on a 20-mile long run, then kind of threw off the whole speed thing and just basically lost interest. And and the update is that I didn't run a speed trial. I didn't do a check-in this weekend, but I've decided, listen. I've been feeling kind of like out of my body, like or not happy with like not feeling good about my body recently, not like weight or something like that, but like just you know, I've been tight and like uncomfortable and not feeling very strong. Does that make sense?
After the trampoline park,
maybe that's why I've been so sore the past couple days.
Yeah, of course. It is.
Oh man, I didn't even put that together. That's hilarious. No, but like in the past couple of weeks, I've just had a series of bad runs where I've just been lethargic and just not very good. And so what I decided this weekend was that I'm going to spend the next 30 days, and this is real, I'm going to spend the next 30 days reclaiming my body, if that makes sense. I don't know if that's the right terminology, but 30 days of at least 10 minutes of yoga and then a breath, some breath work.
Okay.
And then some other, you know, kind of like mini priorities. I'm not going to call them challenges or anything like that. Priorities around certain types of running, continuing my pull up stuff, continuing some strength stuff that I've been doing recently. But just like really trying to get back to feeling like myself again.
Okay.
And focus on that for the next month, and then decide if I even want to do the 5K thing. Because the fact that it fell off makes me think that I didn't really even want it that much. And if I don't really want it, then I'm not even gonna prioritize it. So I'm just gonna let it go.
Yeah, it's the goal's fault. It was a bad goal to begin with. It's the 5K's fault.
It's
so what we need is something that allows you to reassess that from a clear mindset.
From a clear mindset, yeah. No, but I really, like, I've just like, I've had, I did something to my thumb, on a skiing a couple weeks ago. That's like still bothering me. And also
right. I'm happy to run the best 5K when your thumb's messed up.
No. I just like things in my body are like kind of falling apart. And I think that that's part of this, like, wanting to just feel good about myself again.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, can't fault a man for that. I mean, I think the breath work is probably not needed for trying to get your body back in order.
No, but it's about centering myself, a little bit of meditation breath work. So it's not about the fitness of the breath work. It's just kind of like feeling, you know, alive inside myself again.
Right.
You
know? A restart. All right. Good. Okay.
I mean, even 10 minutes of yoga is not going to do much either. But like establishing that yoga habit every day, you know, sometimes hopefully it'll be much more than 10 minutes, maybe full class. I don't know. It's all about just like, it's just a reset, man. And right. the biggest thing though, is I'm just letting go of the 5K thing for now. I may revisit it, but instead of dragging it on like 3 years of pull-ups.
Right. We don't want that.
I'm just going to let it go.
Okay.
And accept that maybe I'll never run a sub 20 minute 5K again, or maybe I will.
Right. Who knows? Who could say? Jeff Hudnall says the pull-up saga continues. Are pull-ups part of this somehow?
I mentioned pull-ups because honestly, I'm stronger on the pull-ups than I've ever been. I've been crushing on the pull-ups. Yeah.
Wow.
Still haven't hit five yet, so I'm not breaking it out. But
yeah, okay.
It's been good.
That's good. Maybe could that be what's making you sore?
It might
adding to you feeling bad.
Some tightness in my back and stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good. Well, they say when you make these public declarations that it's actually not as effective as people think because everyone you know applauds you for it. So I'm not going to applaud you for it. I'm going to say this is dumb.
No, you shouldn't.
This isn't good. You failed. whatever. But prove me wrong and come back because I don't want you to feel like, okay, I'm good. Now that I declared this, then I can chill. I want you to keep that fire under you.
No, but what makes me excited about this is a couple of things. One is like, I just really have been feeling weird inside my body and hopefully this will help with that. Maybe.
Yep.
We'll see. Definitely. But so that's exciting. But also, instead of this like big thing like the sub 25K or a big race or something like that, I'm going back to like that kind of small goal, small daily goal in establishing that.
Yep.
And that's
like that, for sure.
That is feeling very exciting to me.
Yeah, yeah, good. I'm with you there. What do you got there, Doug? Why do you have a fan control or something? What's that?
Turning the heat off because
it
was blasting down on me.
Okay, good. All right. Well, yeah, good. I mean, I'm joking, but I do hope you hope your body feels better. And I like the idea of, you know, when you go for something and it doesn't work out, instead of quitting, you pivot and then you say,
yeah,
need something different. And I think that you go to the smaller steps where you can succeed every single day with this plan. And I like that. So I'm not going to criticize, also not going to applaud you. I'm not going to say, oh, yes, this is a heroic move you're doing. This is so brave of you to announce this and be willing to, none of that. But good. I'm glad.
You can keep shaming me. That's fine. You can keep making fun of me.
Am I the reason you feel bad about your body? Am I like the only reason?
Yeah, exactly. I just look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, Matt said this about me last night.
All right. Well, a lot of people have tuned in. Britters, Matt O'Connor, Phyllis Hauser, Big Media X Claws, Dale Stevens, Scott Mulholland, Neil L, Anne Marie, Jeff Hudnall, Kate, aka Rivercat. I think I said Steven. No, I didn't say Steven. Steven's here. Brandon Turner. Been missing the show recently because of service. And then someone new, me to the bottom here. KDC made it in time today. So good. Good to see everyone. By the way, a note of clarification. My mom thought, she wondered why I never read her name among the people who were showing up to the show. She thought anyone who was at the show gets their name called out. No, you have to participate and comment at the beginning and say good morning, like everyone does. Big Media X Claws does a GM. That's a crypto move saying GM. So I like that one. Speaking of which, Bitcoin, huh?
Bitcoin.
Who predicted it? Who predicted 500K by the end of the year?
You part of the yacht club? I am. About to be.
The Bored Ape Yacht Club? Is that what you're talking about? Or just the yacht club in general?
That's okay. Just when I'm about to be rich and okay, I'm about to buy good. A yacht and join gotcha. The yacht club.
Good. Okay. All right. Anyway, so yeah, if you want your name read on here and you're a constant shower up, like my mom just did, say good morning and say hello or whatever, and then you'll get your name called out.
That's right. We don't know if you're here unless you comment.
No, right. We have no idea. But so everyone thinks that there's only 10 people coming to the show, when in reality, there's 36 right now. Doug, this is a massive,
it's
massive
crazy.
Okay, good. So there we go. My weekend, mostly uneventful. My mom had come to visit us, which was very nice. Then I watched some soccer with the kids. I think I watched 4 children's games this weekend, which is a typical weekend. So nothing really that exciting for me. Not much really in the food world. Had some Thai food last night. Didn't make it. Got it at the takeout. Mm. And that's a rare.
What'd you get?
The cost of takeout is absurd. I got a pad thai and a red curry. And Aaron and I split a little bit of each of them. Not nearly eating a full dish each, though, because there's tons of leftovers. Which there better be, for as expensive as that stuff costs. Ordering takeout food for 4 people now, you just can't. It's crazy. I mean, it's an insane amount of money.
Yeah. Did you do like DoorDash or did you go pick it up?
No, I actually did go pick it up. Holden was training at the field and it was easy to pick up from there. So that saved us something. Mm-hmm. But it was still an absurd amount of money.
It is. It's crazy.
Yeah. So almost every time we'll talk about getting food somewhere. And then I'm like, start scrounging around in the pantry. I'm like, I'm going to find something. And it becomes my mission to save us $80 and make something from what we have. And it will eat healthier and it's fine. But then you got to clean up and all that and cook. And that's the real value of that takeout food. All right. Anything else, Doug, before we jump into our show? I have no music today because the computer got commandeered for homeschool purposes.
No, I don't think so. I feel like it was some sort of like non-plant-based news I was going to talk about today, but I've forgotten.
Huh. I don't know what that would have been. I've not really been paying that much attention to the news, as usual. All right, here we go. Jenny McCarthy is launching a new line of cruelty-free eyelashes. She's the host of The Masked Singer. Have you ever watched The Masked Singer, Doug? I could have never told you she was a host of that.
Don't even know what it is.
Well, I know what it is. There's this ad where the singer wears a mask and then does something.
And then they reveal themselves and they're...
Yeah, something like that. And okay. I don't know if it's a famous person. I think it's a famous person.
And oh, okay.
So you can guess who they are. I don't really know. I haven't seen it. Jenny McCarthy. I don't know what happened to Jenny McCarthy. I don't know if her career's gone the good arc or bad arc. I'm not really sure.
Who is Jenny McCarthy?
She was on TRL back. No, not
TRL.
Yeah, I think it was TRL. It was one of those MTV shows. She was on it. She was the girl. It was a guy host as well.
Yeah.
And then she did some stuff after that. Then she went into the big the vaccines cause autism thing, and that became how everyone kind of really knew her now. But anyway, I didn't know she was vegan. But now she's doing this. She wants a natural looking lash with a thin strip that is light and fluffy. She said before it looked like it was Halloween when people wear the lashes that they do. So now she's got this cruelty free brand. And there you go. I guess I don't know who cares about this, but maybe somebody does. All right. Moving on. This one is interesting. A 13-year-old boy was arrested during a PETA protest. PETA says it was a peaceful protest on their site. They say he and his family were part of a group peacefully protesting the coffee chain over extra charges for vegan milk options. And we all know how I feel about this protesting, right? I think it's a fantastic thing. Everyone should do this all mm-hmm. the time. Make your mm-hmm. make your opinion known. Don't just vote with your dollar.
How you
go
spend
make
your...
a scene, be a public yep. nuisance to make change. I love that. I think it's just so good for the vegan movement to create that kind of perception.
It's how you spend your afternoons, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was in Concrete Blocks on Saturday. That's why I wasn't around. I was near the Dunkin' Donuts saying, good job having no upcharge.
There you go. In your Concrete Blocks.
In Concrete Blocks. Yeah. Okay. So the Orange County Sheriff's deputies ordered the protesters to leave. But the teen reportedly would not leave. And he's now charged with battery on a law enforcement officer because there's a video that PETA put out that shows him appearing to throw something at the deputy as he's taken into custody. And cameras captured him being shoved on a table and handcuffed. When I was in business law class in college, Doug, I learned that assault is when you attempt to attack somebody. Battery is when you actually hit them.
Ah.
So he must not have just thrown something, but actually hit them with it. And so you'd get assault and battery for that. But they just said battery here.
So assault and battery is when you intend to do something and you actually do it?
Right. So I guess you could have battery without the assault.
Without the assault?
Were you accidental sort of situation? I don't really know.
Huh.
But that's 20-year-old knowledge from business law class. It could have been.
You are the resident lawyer, so.
Right. That's my legal advice for you if you're in any trouble.
I don't know. Do you think they should have arrested a 13-year-old protester? Like, are we supposed to be outraged that he's 13 years old and got arrested? Is that what? Is that the
well,
news?
Probably. I didn't read PETA's take on it. I know they have a PR thing on their release, but I didn't look at that on their website. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't matter how old you are. You can't throw things at police officers, I don't think.
Right. Right. I mean, obviously, he's a minor, you know.
Right. And he's not going to get in real trouble.
There's things that happen around that, but, like, you know, he's. Not so young. If my 7-year-old was arrested because I brought her to a PETA protest,
right?
You know, I mean, that would be unfortunate. She wouldn't really know what she's doing. But 13, right.
Yeah,
you know what you're doing.
What if the parents are proud of this and making the most of it, and they're going to say, "This is your chance to launch a social media career,"
ooh,
and all this stuff. I think that's how you got to think these days.
Well, they were at the protest, right?
So the parents were there, so they probably really like this. They think, wow, this is probably the youngest protesting arrest for the upcharge ever. So who knows? Anyway, I'm all for the peaceful protesting. If that's what in fact it was, fine. Actually, no, I shouldn't say it. I'm not all for peaceful. I've made it very clear that I'm not all for any kind of protesting, even the peaceful.
I was about to say that too.
I do prefer the peaceful over the violent kind. I'll say that. If you don't do it, be peaceful.
If I had to choose between peaceful protesting and violent protesting, I guess
shockingly,
I would choose peaceful.
All right, so
real
there's
hot
that.
Take there, right? Okay.
okay, so there's that one. And sorry, I lost track of my thing here. All right, Eat Differently is at it again with this company, this campaign that I just don't get the name. It's Eat Different is what made this slogan good. Apple did it. It wasn't Eat Different. It was Think Different. They put the LY on here to make it grammatically correct. And it just ruins the fun for me. But they're doing good work, I guess. They're putting up big billboards. In this case, they say, got my mom's milk? I didn't. And it's a picture of a cow who's saying, basically, you got my mom's milk. I didn't get it. I don't know. It's all around LA. And I like this. I mean, I guess it's not too graphic animal cruelty. It's just a poor, sad cow who didn't get his mom's milk and reminds you that it's not meant for people. And I think it's a good thing. I think there's a strong anti-dairy trend. And I think it could be embraced way more than the anti-meat trend is for health reasons. I think a lot of people agree dairy, not healthy. So I'm okay with this, Doug. You like these ads?
Yeah, I think it's cool. I just put it up on the feed.
Yep.
Yeah, I like it. It's not, oops, what did I just click? Oh, there we go. It's not, like you said, it's not graphic and make you squirm. Just makes you think a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Would it be better if the call to action instead of please go vegan was please stop drinking dairy? Please stop drinking milk. I mean, it's more words, obviously, not too good. But go vegan, like that. Suddenly, you lose everybody who's just not going to go vegan. Yeah. But if it was just sort of a small ask.
That's a good point. What if it was drink Oatly? What if it was an Oatly ad?
I'd say it was the best Oatly ad ever made. Yeah, by far. No, actually,
I mean, I kind of don't think it. They didn't need any call to action at all. Just the eat differently is the call
right,
to action.
People right? Go more call. You're right. Mm-hmm. The name of the website is a call to action. Mm-hmm. Can you scroll up a little bit to the picture of the actor? I was a little confused at first. I think that's the woman from Parks and Rec, right? She's the consultant who comes and works with.
Oh yeah.
Whatever that guy's name is, I forget. Sweetums. Okay. Anyway, so that says my mom's milk. They said you needed it. They lied. So that's. I guess it's a. I mean, that's confusing, right?
Is that a meme? Is that a famous meme? Her winking.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. And she has an obviously drawn in milk mustache on there, mm-hmm. But I don't get the my mom's milk. It makes sense when it's a cow next to the thing.
Right.
This isn't right. That.
It didn't say that a cow wrote it. Like it should be a quote. Like
to say cow's milk. They said you needed it or something. Uh-huh. They lied, and then she's winking. That must be a famous meme. Yeah. Jen Barkley is her name. I like her. She's good. At least in that, when she represents Nick Sweetums, or whatever his name is. Okay, so
Dale wants to know, weren't the Got Milk's ad taken down for legal reasons? Matt, you're the legal correspondent.
I do remember there was something about that. It's the extent of my knowledge on it. There was something about the milk campaign didn't like that, or yeah, I don't know. No idea. I'm not going to speculate on matters of law and legal advice. All right. Moving on, Time Magazine has unveiled their list of America's top green tech companies in 2024, and a bunch of them we know from our talks. I guess none of these are like the big winner or anything, but 19 food tech companies made this list. Air protein, I think we talked about air protein at some point. Thought it was a crazy thing, but they were making protein out of air molecules. Mm-hmm. Atomo Coffee, I don't remember if that. I think that's the one that Steven tried that just made out of a bunch of different things, you know, barleys and other kind of things that somehow they're constructing coffee. It's not the cultivated one, I don't think. Meaty is there. Did I tell you about some meaty the other day? Yeah, I did. And then I actually got a stomach ache after I ate the meaty thing.
No way.
And I just don't know if it was like a total like psychosomatic thing, because I knew Bianca had puked after she ate hers. The first time I had it, I had no problems whatsoever, but suddenly like my stomach didn't feel good. And I thought maybe I have this mycoprotein allergy, but thankfully nothing didn't escalate from there. It was just a mild stomach ache. Wild Type, Mycotechnology, and the Better Meat Company. Oh, I was thinking that was Good Meat. It's not Good Meat. They earned a spot recognized for groundbreaking approach to sustainable food production. One more here. India has started to set the regulatory framework for the approval of cell-based foods, including cultivated meat and seafood. This is reported by the Good Food Institute. And it's a big deal because India has a whole lot of people. And I guess they don't eat much beef there, but they do eat a lot of dairy. So maybe they'll make cell-based dairy. Bless you, Doug.
They, a lot of, you know, parts of India are highly vegetarian, right? I wonder if they would eat cell-based meat.
That's a really good question. I mean, if the cow is sacred, I guess more than just a cow is sacred, because some of them are fully vegetarian. I mean, some parts of India.
Yeah,
I think.
A lot of them are. Yeah.
I mean, it must be related to Hinduism, right? That's the religion.
Mm-hmm.
Must be somehow related, but we saw the thing about the it can be considered halal by under certain conditions. So I'm guessing they'll have some sort of rules that say if you do all this, then it's minimal suffering or no suffering really. And it's going to be okay. Yep. So, and that's good. That's a big thing. I think this is the major use case for this cultivated meat is in some of those Asian countries that have so many people. And I think as more and more people can afford meat, there's going to be a big demand for it. So this is a good thing. Okay. Anything else there, Doug? Anything else to add to that? You're kind of our geopolitical guy. Any thoughts about what that means for world politics and things?
No, just that it's a massive country, a huge population. So if it passed and it became an actual part of the food system there. That would be huge for a number of reasons, but
there we go. Very well said. Could not have come up with that on my own without.
That's exactly what you said, isn't it? Yeah.
All right. moving on. This is a goofy show today. I don't know why. It's a weird one.
I don't mind it. It's not too bad.
Okay. Maybe because I had no music, it just feels awkward.
Brandon wants to know, or Brandon is eating meaty today, and Scott wants to know if you had the steak or the chicken.
I got the steak, the carne asada. And I don't know if they make any other kind of steak that isn't carne asada flavored. It's strange to me that that's the only flavor I ever see, because it's kind of a unique flavor, right? Mm. That's a Hay household special, but no one else really is eating that Tex-Mex food all the time. I think they'd have like a regular steak that's just like normal steak flavor. So anyway, I got that. I don't mean to spread any false stuff about meaty. I think it's a fantastic source of plant-based protein. It's my favorite one of the plant-based meats as far as the texture and taste. And as far as the nutrition, probably. I don't know that much about mycoprotein, but it's a very, very good, clean label, and I love that. So I hope very few people have the situation Bianca had, and I don't mean to pretend that like I have that as well. Really don't. But you me.
Yeah. And then Mr. Jeffrey, our resident encyclopedia, comes in with this is talking about India, that they won't kill an animal to eat it, but they eat food from cows, like milk. So in theory, they should be okay with cultivated milk.
That's a good point. They don't mind.
And Muslims don't eat pork, and which is, there's a large Muslim population, of course, in India as well.
I didn't know that.
Dirty, but it's culture. But if it's cultured, I'm curious if it would be considered clean. Interesting. Probably not.
Right.
But maybe.
I mean, who knows? It's possible. They can make it very clean. Depends on what you're going for. All right. Moving on. Thank you, Mr. Jeffrey, for that. These Colonel restaurants, we've been talking about them a little bit. This is the Chipotle founder has a new thing, new concept. I think it's no relation to Chipotle at all. I don't even know if he's still involved with Chipotle at all. But it's staffed by robots. They have a centralized kitchen half mile away from the place where they're making all the stuff, I guess. But then when it goes there, it's only robots who are handling the orders, and this big arm comes and assembles the stuff. And then there are the three employees at each one. The one of them is to pack the food. One of them is to, lost it. Okay. A replenisher who restocks ingredients, an assembler who pulls the foods together, and a bundler who packs the bags.
Oh, the robots don't even pack the bags?
That seems like easy robot work, right? Replenish the food.
That'd be the easiest thing. Yeah.
Right. If you just receive it in some sort of like standardized box situation, couldn't they just easily do that? Like, I mean, airplanes probably do that. Well, no, they have people. An assembler who pulls the food together. Now that one I get, you got to assemble it, but still, what's the robot doing? If not that.
Yeah, just making a salad, just throwing some ingredients. I mean, honestly, and the article says that right now, at least the food is prepared the food is prepared offsite, chopped,
right,
prepared, and then delivered. To the robots. So like, what is the robot doing? Right. I mean, really,
who's going to be replaced now, robot? This is, I think, robot is the redundant character here, not the people.
I would say so. If you're prepping all the food, you might as well just throw it in a bowl and call it a salad, you know?
Yeah. So anyway, they are doing their thing. I think it's in New York City. It opened February 12th. So it's been out a whole month now. They've got a vegan, it's all vegan, by the way. We didn't mention that. It's all plant-based food. I guess I haven't seen that it's vegan. They're saying plant-based everywhere, so I assume it is all vegan. A New York Post guy did it. We saw something from this guy before. He makes like a big ugly face and does his thumbs down kind of stuff. Looks like a real grumpy kind of guy. I think that's his whole bit, is that he does that and people think it's funny. His headline says, Chipotle creators vegan robot Colonel is three awful trends in one. And he doesn't like it at all, obviously. It's no touchdown pass. It's an end zone fumble. I think it's a reference to maybe the football players who are backing it. I don't really know. Yeah, it is. Anyway, he doesn't like, of course, that it's vegan, because he's a New York Post writer and he's just an angry old white dude and just doesn't like that kind of change, I'm guessing. What else? I'm trying to find what the other trends are. I read about them, but I've forgotten what they are. One is the robot thing, obviously. He's mad about the app. It doesn't work. You can't order any meaningful time in advance. So he's having trouble with the app. And then at the end, he says, as for the bogus beef, don't expect anything like the Impossible Burger's plausible simulation with aroma and ooze. Colonel's patty, $7, was mealy and flavorless, except for pickled onions on top, pickled slices beneath, and a dose of salsa verde. It's just like, I wonder what his article about the Impossible Burger said, how much he panned the Impossible Burger then, and now suddenly it's a plausible simulation with aroma and ooze. So who knows? I mean, it's just, this is what the New York Post will write about it.
Yeah.
But I'd like to try this. I would no brainer, absolute go. If I saw this on the side of the highway, immediate pull over, get it, even if I wasn't hungry, because I would love to see what this experience is like.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. What I thought was interesting, and this was one of the complaints, and maybe this would change over time, but like, you place the order on your app. You can't place the order there because I guess there's no way to take your order. Although you could just type into computer. That didn't make sense. And then it's ready in about 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then it looks like it goes kind of in a locker or something that you pull it out of, but you can't place a pickup time, which is a no brainer for a robot to do, right? like it should be able to order, prioritize orders based on like when you want it.
One would think.
And so like who's, unless you're in an office right next to it, who's 6 minutes away from a restaurant and going to order it and then not have it sit there forever? Because, you know, if you're pulling over from the highway, are you just going to sit in the parking lot, like open your app and put it in your parking lot? Like maybe those things will change, you know,
yeah.
But hopefully they figure that kind of thing out, because the user experience doesn't sound quite like dialed in yet.
Right. It sounds like there are some unforeseen kinks like that. I mean, you'd think they would have thought about that massive problem, but it doesn't like their sink. Apparently, a potato fell out of a tray last week, and it forced shutdown of the entire production line. The whole thing was off as the potato rolled out. And the guy who, I guess Els is, I think that's the founder guy. He says, we didn't know right away to turn off the customer order flow. It was a disaster. So they just I don't know how you wouldn't foresee like what happens if something just shuts down the whole thing, but anyway, they said it's a new experience. There's a learning curve. That was true of Chipotle in the early days. And I didn't realize Chipotle was so revolutionary, but it sounds like that itself.
It started a whole like fast casual industry.
Yeah, I guess it did. I just don't remember when that happened. I don't remember it being new. I remember that it was good burritos and stuff. I just don't remember it was like, wow, this is strange that you go up and, I mean, it just seemed like Subway. Like you just go and people make your stuff.
Oh yeah, I guess it's kind of like Subway. It's true. I guess it is. But maybe more quality. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's doing it with food that doesn't have to be hot necessarily and all that. So it's very different.
I mean, all right. So let's talk about robots for just 1 second.
Okay.
I know we're really early on in the whole robot AI stuff. So everything's going to change. But it's kind of laughable how something like a dropped potato can shut everything down when it's supposed to be this revolutionary thing. The whole company is going to be based off of this, like a whole restaurant. And I mean, have you seen any of the news about the autonomous cars in San Francisco?
Over the past couple of years, I've seen that news of what happens.
Yeah, well, like, you know, they've been testing all these like autonomous driverless cars. Like Ubers and stuff like that, driverless Ubers in San Francisco kind of as this like testing ground. And people hate them. Some people love them, of course, and it's cool for tourists, I'm sure, but like a lot of people don't like them. And so, people just will surround them by cones, and then they get stuck in the middle of the road because they won't drive over anything.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, it's like, why, you know, the robots are not going to take over the world if it's like so easy to just drop a potato or put a cone in front of them and everything shuts down.
Yeah. Right? That's a really good point. I mean, who knows how fast the curve will go and how quickly this will just be a nothing of a problem, these sort of situations. But you're right. I mean, this is, it is so, so easy for them to be totally lost and messed up. So I don't know. I was listening to a book today, believe it or not, I was listening to an audiobook on a 3-hour drive this weekend to Raleigh to watch soccer. And, first of all, it reinforced my conviction that listening to audiobooks is not the same as reading books at all. Not even close. I would zone out, miss 2 or 3 minutes. And then I'm like, in a regular book, I'll just go back to where I...
You never zone out reading? See, I zone out reading.
No, yeah, I zone out reading, but then I go back and catch the thing. People who listen to audiobooks, this is my theory about people who listen to audiobooks and why I don't count them as a book read. They just say, well, you know, I'm sure I caught a little bit. I'm not going to go back 90 seconds or try to find that bit in the audio where I stopped listening. Mm-hmm. So they'll say, I listened to the book, and they probably listened to a third of the book, and the rest they were just daydreaming about whatever. So that's what I did in the car. And so I got nothing out of the book. Anyway, the point is, the guy said, perverse sort of weird law is that the more machines you have in your life, the less time you have. And he gave a bunch of examples about that. And I really think it's true. Like, I think people are just so, so busy now. And it's because of all this stuff we surround ourselves with, that you got to repair and maintain and deal with and learn how to use. And then the distractions that they give you and the alerts and all that. I'm still calling for the great flood reset of the whole world.
No, Matt. No.
No, you don't like that?
No, I do not like that at all. I do not want the great flood reset.
We're just never going to put all this back in the box. It's just, we better get very quickly through this awkward technology phase where it has made life nothing like how it should be.
But then what will happen to all the crypto riches?
That's a good point. That is a good point.
No, I mean... I think the main point that you made there, the more machines, the less time you have. I think that is 100% true. Because when you do check out, when you turn off all the machines, when you go camping, when you go for a run or whatever, you have so much more time. I mean, even if you're actively running, you have so much more time to process things and think about things and like,
yeah.
I don't know. And then you get home and maybe you don't like immediately jump on your phone or whatever, and you're more efficient. You're more at getting things done, getting whatever you got to do done. I think it's great. Yeah.
Stephen points out that I would hate living in the woods and foraging and all that. That's a good point. I wouldn't like that. I want to go back to a golden age of like 1990s or so when I was growing up.
Now that you're reading fiction books, right? Or are you not reading fiction books?
I haven't read any fiction books. I don't think, not this year.
Have we talked about One Second After that book?
No, I don't think so.
It's a like a bestseller. It's a very popular book, but it's set here in Black Mountain.
Okay.
Main reason I read it, but it's about one of those nukes that I forget what they're called, but they basically wipe out technology. This is a real thing.
A pinch. They call it a pinch in Ocean's 11.
Okay.
Is that what it is?
Well, I mean that's not ringing a bell, so I'm not sure. But they set them off, they detonate them in the air, like in the sky. And over a city or something like that, it'll wipe out all the technology in the city, which is everything, right? So all computers, all modern cars, gas pumps, everything. And it's about kind of people surviving or not surviving in this technology-less world. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's fascinating.
I would enjoy that. Yeah.
You wouldn't. Yeah, it's terrible. Everyone's dying and like.
Oh, okay. Well, I still would enjoy it. No, I'm saying I would enjoy living in that situation. I would enjoy reading the book.
You should. It's a EMP. Yeah, Jane has it there. I don't know what that stands for.
Okay. Electromagnetic pulse, I think.
Yeah. But anyway, it's a great book. It's a trilogy, and it gets progressively worse as the books go on. But the first one is really
okay. Cool. All right, good. I'm glad. I might try to read that one. That'd be good. All right. Checking in quickly. There's a lot of chatter here. It sounds like Garuda is doing some trolling. I don't know exactly what, but I haven't. It's just a lot of comments. I have not been able to read them all, so I'll have to leave them be for the audience. But any noteworthy ones? Giliardo's dad? Giliardo's dad's dad? I don't really know what that name means, but. He said, I like you guys' optimism and genuineness. So I like that too. I mean, I appreciate that. That's what we try to do. We've been accused of being too negative before, that too many negative stories are selected for the show because the vegan movement is going through a rough patch right now. So there's a lot of negative news, but not today. There wasn't anything. So that's good. A lot of stuff about technology and self-driving cars driving on ice and all kinds of things that are interesting, but I wish I could read them all, but I can't. I did see a Netflix movie, Doug, called Leave the World Behind. You know that one? It's about a giant cyber attack that happens and like suddenly, speaking of self-driving cars, they're just piling up, blocking entire roads and exits from places, and people are stuck and cruise ships are smashing into the coastline because their GPS is totally ruined. Planes are just falling out of the sky. Just disaster movie. But it's kind of interesting. It was strange funny ending, interesting ending. I'd recommend it. Leave the world behind.
All right.
Okay. I can't believe it's not like 20 minutes past the end of the show. It feels like this has been the longest show in the world, and it's only 11:43. Yeah. Anything else, Doug? I mean, I don't know.
Oh, we have a real heckler on Twitch right now.
Oh, here we go. Brick Motion Films. I see that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a joke. It's a riddle. Two-part comment. You know what can give you a lot of energy for running and exercising? And big double bacon cheeseburger with a side of Interview with Trump.
Whoa.
That tilts you, right? You're a politician, Trump. That... No good?
Yeah, kills me.
Yeah.
It makes me furious.
All right. Well, me too. Very, very angry. Okay, Phyllis Houser says she saw the world leave the world behind and didn't say if it was good or not. Leslie Knight says it was good. Garuda Legend says it was good. Look at that. I got an agreement from Garuda. Hard to get, and I got it. So there you go. All right, on that note, we will leave. Doug, anything else to say? Any final words today before you won't be back for 23 hours for the Wednesday show?
No, I'm going to go be crushing my new goals, man.
Good. I wish you the best of luck. I'm not gonna say I think it'll work out. I'm not gonna say congratulations for discovering yourself or anything or what's really important, but I just hope it works out.
Thanks, Mr. Jeffrey, for requesting those likes. Smash that like button on YouTube. We got a lot of people watching between the different channels today, which is great. So thanks.
Yeah, everybody. I don't know what's with the Twitter audience. The past like three or four shows, it's been huge. It's doubled our attendance. So if you're on Twitter, thank you. Do something to engage with that video channel, because when I go over there, it looks like nothing's happening. I don't see anything. So yeah. So but yeah, thanks for showing up. Unless it's all just bots, and in which case, more evidence that the bots are ruining things.
that X is ruined. Yeah.
Okay. And someone says that we should run for president.
And then Britter says a Hey Frazier 2025 ticket.
2025. How do we get a 2025 ticket? There's no election then, right?
That's true. There's a disaster. It should be 2024. But what I was going to call out was that I'm at the top of the ticket. Thank you, Britters. I appreciate that.
I was going to say exactly that, Doug. That someone said, Matt or Doug, you should run for president. And I was going to say, Doug has a massive head start on me with the political experience whole thing taken care of. So that's good. All right, Doug, are you going to ascend the ranks? Are you going for like a state Senate seat after this?
No. This is it. Unless we decide to run for president together.
Okay. Good.
Go big or go home. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. One more thing. Gigliardo's dad said there's a TV show adaptation of 1 Second After being made by this guy, Michael Straczynski, creator of Babylon. I saw on ABC, so there was some disaster show. It was like a cruise ship tipped over on the big billboard I saw for it. So I wonder if that's what it is. Would a cruise ship tip over from that situation?
It loses its navigation, runs ashore. Right.
Loses its navy, and then it's gone. And it's
possible.
Tips. All right. Well, we should.
Oh, two calls for Doug to be the new Cory Booker. I love Cory. He's my favorite. Yeah. Okay. I would be honored to be the new Cory Booker.
All right. Well, think about that. While you're doing the breath work and all this, think about how you might go to the next level in this political career. Yeah. Years.
Is that what you want me to do? Then we have to quit the show because you would get me in too much trouble.
You're right. It's already done. I mean, it's already That's all true. The videos are out there, so that's true. You wouldn't get elected no matter what. People would find things. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you everyone for listening to us. This was fun. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, enjoy your Tuesday.
All right. See ya.
Okay, bye.